PFI, KG4 PFI, N0TR.
KG4 PFI.
Couldn't remember your call just right for some reason the other day, so I looked it up, and it says your last name is L-A-W-L-E-S-S. Is that correct?
Negative. It's L-O-L-L-I-S.
Less, the way you treated me and all, it was lawless. Bernice is laughing over here. Well, I got to tell you something. My neighbor, who's a wonderful guy, nothing like you, of course, his name is Lawless. And I just wondered if you was related to Tim over here next to me.
I'm not in, I don't think so. All of my family has passed away. My mom and dad, my aunts and uncles, all of them are gone. And in fact, I was the only child, so I don't have any brothers or sisters, so... there's some Lawlesses around, but I'm not any kin to them.
But, he's like Gary refers to Chris up there, another brother from another mother to me. I mean, we live next to him here almost 14 years now, and he's excellent. So, anyways, I'll put a star on the wall for the Lawlesses. And Veronica, his wife, said that there was a lot of Lawlesses up there in your area, and heck, I can't remember what is it, Pickens, and that, is that where you're at?
Mott.
I was close. It starts with a P. shoot. Well, I was hoping you was related to him. Boy, you couldn't ask for a better neighbor. He likes to fish and hunt and stuff like that, and I went over tonight and visited with him a little. He's looking for a pontoon boat. He's got a beautiful bass boat out there, but I think he got hooked on catfishing this year, so he's going to change over to a pontoon boat. I told him he's getting old.
Never had a pontoon boat, but I did have a tri-hull boat with a 85-horse motor on it, and enjoyed it while I had it, but that was back when I was younger, and I'm not that young anymore, and my wife came down with a problem with major surgery, and she took her a year to get over it, and I sold my boat, and I had a camper, and I sold it too, so, but, you know, that's just, I had a good time while I had it.
Good memories. I got a lot of fond memories from up in Kansas. I bought a V-bottom when I come down here. It had a little 9-horse motor on, but the motor, I got shystered on that. It went bad, and this guy down here at White Hampton, he's out of business now in 101. He really laid it on me, and I told him I didn't want to put that much money in it, but he went ahead anyways and did. But this year, I was going over to the Daughters, and there was a bass tracker. I wanted one of those all my life and just never could afford it or anything. And it had a 9.9, and that's exactly what I was looking for. I guess it had a 30 on it at one time, but it had two dip finders on it and a real good motor guide troller, and the seats don't even look like it's been set in hardly. And so I went back down there from the Daughter's house and got it mainly for the grandkids. They're interested in fishing now, at least the oldest one is. But I'm too dang old to use it, Don. I'm afraid I'd get out there and get stuck and couldn't get it back on the trailer.
I'll tell you a story there that, well, this ain't no story. This actually happened. I was unloading my boat down at the lake, Hartwell. And there was a couple of guys that were ahead. Well, they were behind me. And they put their boat in after I did. And they were both drunk. And me and my friend, we got in the boat, and we was going up the lake. And I seen them two guys. They was going up the lake, and then all of a sudden they started waving at us. Come over and help. Come over and help. we went over there, and he said, there's something wrong with this boat. And I said, what's the matter with it? He said, it won't plane off. He said, we poured a coal on it, and it just splashes water everywhere. My friend got to looking at it, and he said, well, it would probably plane off if you take the trailer out from underneath it.
God. Now, that's really drunk, Doc. Well, I've never seen anyone that drunk on the water, but they're out there, from what I hear on the television down here. I've never been on Hartwell but once, and that was years ago. The daughter took us over there, and son-in-law, and we went on the lake with my sister, and I had a good time. It was really a lot of fun. That's the only time I've ever been down there. My neighbor, Tim Wallace over here, took me up to, what's that lake up there he took me to, Bernice? Yeah, Joe Cassie. Boy, that's a pretty place. But my left lung is attached to my rib cage, and even planing along at 55, it was very painful. The bumps, you know, from the water. And there wasn't very many people on the lake. It just, very sensitive. And so, 9.9 is more than enough, but I just am too crippled up to mess with it. But I hope the grandkids have fun with it.
Some fun with our boat when we had it, and had a lot of crazy stuff that we saw while we were down there at the lake. There's another one that a friend of mine was helping me put mine in the lake there, and there was a fellow that was ahead of us. He was trying to take his boat out of the lake, and his wife was trying to back the car down there so she could, you know, so they could get it up there close enough they could hook up, pull it out of the water. And he was mad, and he was cussing his wife, and she finally backed down there, and we just stood up there and watched. I wasn't gonna get involved in that. And thing that hooks down to the winch that pulls it up off the trailer, pulls it up on the trailer and all that. He had that hooked up. And she got mad and full boarded that car, and that thing took off and it broke that cable or whatever he had there. It broke that and it flipped that thing all the way over the top of the car and broke the windshield. And she got out, threw the keys at him, and they went down there almost in the lake, and she started walking off. I just went over there and sat down. I told my friend, I said, I ain't getting involved in that. They got might be bullets start flying in a minute.
You're a wise man. I'm telling you. Wow. That's just amazing. Yeah, I had a buddy. He liked to drink every time we'd go hunting, or, well, not hunting, but fishing, because I wouldn't go with him if he touched beer then. But he'd buy a case of beer and make me split the price of it, and I didn't have the money for it, Don, to be honest with you, but I did, and Dad always told me to pay my way, and we'd get out there, and I'll never forget, he drank 23 of them, and he forced me to drink a beer, and when he turned his back, I'd take a drink of it, and then I'd dump it on the ground, because I'm a cheap drunk. I can't drink. I just can't do it, and so I just poured out on the ground, and that made him happy, but I never did see him very drunk. Now, that day he drank those 23 he was, and I wouldn't let him drive back home. But there's some people who just hold that liquor, and I can't, so I just don't do it. But everybody, when I was in the Navy, they said, oh, yeah, you're lucky, Tom. You know, you can get drunk cheap. All I ever got was sick.
We were tied up underneath the bridge, our fishing, my wife's uncle and me and another fellow. And there were some guys over in the other part of the bridge, and they were drinking beer, and they were throwing the cans in the water. And I could see them float out every time they'd throw one in there. And when they got over about 1 o'clock in the morning, when we were down there, they took off in their boat. Had a powerful boat. Boy, that thing took off just a flying. And they took off down the lake, and I heard something go whomp. And I thought, what in the world? Well, we were fixing to leave anyway, so we pulled all of our lines in, and we cranked up and went down through there. And they had run into one of them. They had these posts sticking up out of the water, and they a bunch of rocks and stuff there. And they had run smack in the center of it, and it had thrown them two guys out. And the boat, it messed the boat up bad time. And we went down there and helped them get out and get them back in there. It didn't hurt them, but it tore their boat up. And I thought right then, I said, too much beer.
Statement. You know, my son-in-law up in Michigan, they have a cabin on Lake Wisconsin, his parents do, and the family gets together up there, and I guess he hit the lower end on that big boat of theirs. It's, I don't know if it was a tri-haul or what, it was a kind of a ski boat, I guess you'd say, and I think it was $4,000 just for that lower end, and that's been many years ago.
A friend of mine also told me one, they went fishing, it was in the winter, and they went fishing down at Lake Hartwell, and it was cold, and they had one of those little electric heaters, it wasn't an electric heater, it was a gas-powered heater, run on propane, a little tank, you know. And the guy was trying to light that thing, and somehow or another he caught it on fire in the boat. Well, he picked it up and throwed it out into the water, and in the meantime, he caught his breeches leg on fire. And so he jumped in the water. It was like 20 degrees or something outside. It was cold. They got him back in the boat, and they was going up to the bank someplace so they could get him out, you know, get him some clothes. And they finally found, when they got out, he had a mustache, and he had icicles in his mustache. They went up to they found a place up there that had a washerette, had dryers. And he took all his clothes off, and he hid back in the corner, and they put his clothes in a dryer. And they kept hearing something going clank, clank, clank in the dryer. And they stopped the dryer, and they opened it up and looked in there, and he had five shotgun shells in his pocket. They was going around in that dryer.
That's not good at all. Whew, that could have been the end of that dryer. They might have bought a new dryer for that place. Oh, shoot. Those are good ones, Don. This is Gerald T.R. Well, I'll tell you a sad one. We got a call from the daughter this morning from Michigan, and she plays in the Michigan Philharmonic and several other organizations and orchestras, and then teaches music at a middle school. And she said this mega church that they was playing for last night, they have things, you know, people swinging from the ceiling that are angels, and pyrotechnics and fireworks inside. And at any rate, in marched the choir, and they were in traditional garb from back in the time of Jesus, I guess you would say. And I know we used to, at the Presbyterian Church, we'd carry, and they'd bring us candles, and we'd all light our candles at the Christmas service. And I played French horn. I played in many orchestras in many denominations. And they all, for the most part, did that also with live candles, you know. Well, this lady had on, it was burlap, wasn't it, Bernice? Yeah, it was burlap. And she was in the choir, and it caught on fire. And the orchestra was in the pit down below the stage, and they kept on playing because they couldn't see what was going on up there. But they, Shelley said, and she was about to cry, and she said that that lady's whole outfit caught on fire, and they put her down and finally got a fire extinguisher on her and that, and took her off in an ambulance. And this church, I don't know, they have 10 different shows at that church to give you an idea how big it is. It's like those ones on TV, those mega churches. And they got 6 more shows to do, and she gets paid for it, of course. But, wow, that was tragic, I'll tell you. And she said the smell was really bad, Dad.
Oh, well, you know, Linda's, my wife's uncle, about lost my train of thought there. He, they had a pontoon and had that, what you call that stuff? It was the floor, and then it was artificial stuff like they put on the football field or something. But they had a barbecue grill up on that pontoon, and he was up there, and they were doing some barbecuing, and somehow or another, the thing caught on fire, and it caught that plastic stuff on the floor on fire. So he had to jump in the lake, and it burned his feet a little bit, but it's a wonder it hadn't burnt the whole thing up. But it, when I found out about it, I said, boy, you had the hot feet, didn't you? And he said, sure did.
My old neighbor who taught me so many things that you could never get out of a book. I mean, taught me how to weld, and we built a log splitter, and I built two, let me see, how many wood stoves I built, Bernie's, 2 or 3, 2. One of them was a monster. And he just literally helped me in knowledge with things. He used to build model steam engines, and they were models of real steam engines, and he'd make them on the lathe and that. And then he'd set them up, and he had them all along the walls in that 50-foot garage, and he'd run them on air pressure. But he always told me we'd quit welding at 5 o'clock. He says, no welding after 5. He said, Tommy, he says, fire is a, the old-timers, he'd call me that instead of Tom. And he says, fire's a real permanent thing. And he says, those Johnny balls and the art stuff going all around on the floor, he says, it can sit there and smolder a long time. And that was a wooden garage. And so a fire, he always said, that's pretty permanent, Tom. And I'll never forget that. But he was safe, and he had an old carbide generator out there. And everybody always said the carbide generators were so dangerous. Well, he had pop-off valves all over that thing. Have a bit of trouble with it, and he never ran the acetylene over 5 pounds that I ever seen. And he just taught me a lot, but fire's a bad thing. Well, Don, thanks for sharing your stories. I really enjoyed it. Better get off here. The net's coming up in about 10 minutes or less than that, 8 minutes. Pleasure's all mine. And we'll talk to you down the line. KZ4PFI in 0TR.
I enjoyed it, too. I really did. The experience talking about old times. Alrighty. Well, I hope the rest of your day, whatever left of your day, goes well. And I've always enjoyed talking with you. Seem like my kind of people. We'll talk to you again, I hope. KG4PFI, clear with N0TR.